Bible with you, I hope.
Amen.
All right, you'll need it. Let's turn to New Testament, book of Romans. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then your sixth book in the New Testament is Romans. Go to chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's go down to verse 19, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, which is about 6-7 verses there. So Romans chapter 4. The context of this chapter is about Abraham and the faith of Abraham. So we will discuss this morning faith, and particularly Abraham's faith and what that's got to do with you and I. So let's go to verse 19. I'm picking this up kind of in the middle here where it's a whole lot of things about Abraham. But just so you understand who's being discussed here in verse 19, it's Abraham. So verse 19, and being not weak in faith, speaking of Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, before I go on there, have you known anybody who had a child in their 90s or at age 100? I've only known a handful of people in my life that lived to be 100. Can you imagine a man fathering a child or a woman giving birth? 80s, 90s? Can't imagine that. But guess what happened? That's exactly what happened. Abraham was an old man. We're talking about older people here. And he was a very old man. In fact, he's older than anybody here. And he fathered a child. And his wife was, she was not young and she gave birth. Not only was she an older woman, she had a dead womb. She was barren, and yet she still gave birth. Now, this time of year, we're in the season of discussing miraculous births. Guess who else gave birth? A virgin. So it's not unusual for God to say, yeah, it might seem like that's not possible, but in the power of God, it's possible. So, just a little heads up of where this, what this is about, where we're going. Verse 20, speaking of Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was, and if you'll read those next three words for me, what does it say? Yeah, there you go, Brother Phil. That's the title of the message this morning. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and we'll pull our points out of this verse. It's this verse was made for preaching. To see if you can look at the words that begin with the letter P. The Lord just outlined this perfect for us. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So I'll give you those points as we go. Verse 22, and therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And that's all about Abraham, but then notice how the text changes gear here, and it's going to make a reference to you and I. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. So just like the Lord, to take an Old Testament example of a man just like us, Abraham, and actually a woman, just like you ladies here, Sarah, just like the Lord to take an example from the Old Testament and then connect that to you and I when it comes to salvation. So the message is titled Strong in Faith, and my prayer is that this will be an encouragement to all of us to keep strong in the faith. And you say, the faith in what? It's ultimately, it's in what God said, right? Isn't that where your faith has to be saved? You're believing what God said. So, hope this will help you this morning as we wrap up this year and enter into a new one here in just a few days. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we thank you for your words, that we have them right here in front of us. And I pray that we would all just be strong and believe in them today and every day this week. I ask that you would take this message direction. You want to take it, and we just pray that you would be our teacher. You would lead us, guide us. Pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up this morning. And we just pray again for your Holy Spirit to give us direction here as we go through this passage, look at some other ones, and may this be exactly the message that you want all of us to hear today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to take you back to October the 31st, 1938, and I'm reading out of the New York Times. from Monday, October 31st, 1988. Title of the article, Radio Listeners in Panic, Taking War Drama as Facts. So here's what the article says. A wave of mass hysteria seized thousands of radio listeners throughout the nation between 8:15 and 9:30 last night when a broadcast of a dramatization of H.G. Wells' fantasy, The War of the Worlds, led thousands to believe that an interplanetary conflict had started with invading Martians spreading wide death and destruction in New Jersey and New York. How many of you heard about this before? A few of you? Okay, good. Not completely foreign. This broadcast, which disrupted households, interrupted religious services. It was on a Sunday night when they did this. Created traffic jams and clogged communication systems, was made by Orson Welles, who, as the radio character The Shadow, used to give the creeps to countless child listeners. This time, at least a score of adults required medical treatment for shock and hysteria. A little bit more about this. In Newark, New Jersey, in a single block at Hedden Terrace and Hawthorne Avenue, more than 20 families rushed out of their houses with wet handkerchiefs and towels over their faces to flee from what they believed was to be a gas raid. Some began moving household furniture. Throughout New York, families left their homes, some to flee to nearby parks. Thousands of persons called the police. Newspapers and radio stations here and in other cities of the United States and Canada seeking advice on protective measures against the raids. The program was produced by Mr. Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air over station WABC and the Columbia Broadcast Systems coast-to-coast network from 8 to 9 o'clock. So what happened is this was broadcast over the radio, and this is back when people listened to the radio and had the TV to watch or the internet, and people listened to the broadcast, and many of them listened, and they didn't catch the disclaimer at the beginning of the broadcast. The disclaimer said something along the lines of, this is not real. This is a dramatization. This is theater. But a lot of people picked it up as the broadcast was beginning and heard about the Martians invading Earth. And they believed we were being invaded by Martians. Now, I use that for an illustration this morning for all of us. You better be very careful what you believe. You can't believe everything you hear, can you? But did you notice how what these people believed affected their behavior? And they were taking precautions just in case the Martians were here. And you can call that crazy, but you're going to believe something that you hear throughout the day, aren't you? I think that you probably decided to come to church this morning because of things that you've heard before. All of you have been here before. So you knew that if you came here, there was a really good chance you would hear from the Bible. Right? You're going to decide throughout the day, throughout the week, can I believe the things that I am hearing? Has this really been the case for the last, I've been saying this for a while, now it's almost 2 years. Every day you are faced with, can I trust that which I am hearing? And truth be told, you've heard a lot of baloney over the last 2 years, haven't you? But you were told that this is the way it is, and then the next day that changed. You have a book in front of you that never changes. Did you know that? We read the verse this morning out of James. It says, speaking of God the Father, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know what that means? God never says something and then says, oh, I meant this instead. He never does that. Now, do you know anybody like that? Being honest, a lot of things you hear, they end up being changed to say, that's not really the way it is. The only thing, and I tell you, if anything in the last 2 years now, the only thing that I know I can trust all the time is my Bible. Amen. It's the only source of truth that I know I can trust 100% of the time. Now, this message is not to prove to you that the Bible's true. Let's save that for another time. This message is to hopefully help you increase your faith in what God said by using an example of somebody in your Old Testament who actually was just like you and I. And you're going to see this morning, they struggled. And they had doubts. And even though they're called strong in faith right here, speaking of Abraham, he was not always strong in faith. And that's an encouragement to me. Because I would love for you to think that I'm always strong in faith. But I'm not always strong in faith. You may think I stand up here and I preach, and Pastor, you may think we stand up here, oh, you're always strong in faith. And I think Pastor will probably tell you the same thing I'm telling you. No, we're not always strong in faith. We're weak. But I got to keep going and keep maintaining faith in what God said, even though I go through periods where I think, man, what in the world is happening? So let's take a look here. I reach in that whole thing about War of the Worlds to just remind all of us, be careful what you believe. And I'm going to show you some things in the Bible this morning that you may think are a little far-fetched, but it really happened. So let's take a look here. If you would, just to show you some things about the Bible itself, go to Proverbs 22. This is just an introduction, not the message yet, but go to Proverbs 22. And the Bible is a reliable source of information always. And again, this is not to prove to you that the Bible is true. This is just to show you some verses that will tell you about how certain the words of Scripture truly are. So Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, look at verse 20. Proverbs 22, verse 20. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? That's a verse to meditate on right there. You know what you have in front of you right there? You have excellent things from God in the Bible. And notice it says excellent things in counsels and knowledge. And I need both of those. I need counsel from God. I need the knowledge of God. Look at 21. That I might make the know the certainty of what? The words of truth. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. So notice that verse mentions the certainty of the words of truth, the certainty of God's words. Folks, you have a book in front of you that is certain all the time. It can always be trusted. So there's a great verse on you being able to say that these words of Scripture are certain words. They're handpicked by God Himself, and it's exactly what we need, exactly what God wants us to know. Go to the next book in your Bible. Go to Ecclesiastes. Go to chapter 12, right at the end of Ecclesiastes. Another verse on the importance of God's words and how it can be trusted. Look at this. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 12:10. The preacher sought to find out what kind of words? Acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of what? Words of truth. Just happened to be this morning up here, the preacher, I sought to find out the words of truth, which are acceptable words. And I would be wasting my time and you would be wasting your time if I didn't give you these acceptable words, the words of truth this morning. Hopefully that's why you're here. By the way, that's why we have such a small crowd. Most people aren't interested in hearing the words of truth this morning, are they? That's why most people don't come to church. I'm so glad that there's a place, and this is not the only place, but there's not a lot left, where there's a place where you can come and you can hear the words of truth. Amen? And as we continue on in time, you know there's going to be fewer places like this. So thank God we have a place like this. Now let's go back to Romans. And we'll be in Romans and in Genesis probably for the bulk of the message this morning. But just a little introduction there on the certainty of God's words. These are acceptable words. These are words of truth. All right, so Romans 4, I want you to look down there at verse 19. And I want you to contrast something you see in verse 19 and verse 20. It says, speaking of Abraham, and being not weak in faith. All right, it says he wasn't weak in faith in verse 19. And then in verse 20 it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith. So it says he was not weak in faith. He was strong in faith. Now, look at 19 again. We'll take a little trip to the Old Testament here in a minute, but it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about how old? 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, what's that all about? Well, let's go back to your Old Testament here. Keep your finger in Romans. We'll be back. But let's take a look, first off, the first point this morning is the promise. The promise. Genesis 15, let's look at a couple different promises that God gave Abraham. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, at this point in Abraham's life, he has no children. Genesis 15, look at verse 1. Read a few verses here. This is the promise you'll see that God gave Abraham. Not the only one, but one of several. Look at verse 1. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. Watch what it says here. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now, I want you to think about this. Pretend that you're Abraham here. You don't have any children. And you're asking God, Am I going to have any children? Because all I got right now is this servant. Is he going to be the one to inherit everything whenever I die? And the Lord tells him to look where? What does he tell him? Look up. And he says there, Tell the stars. And you ever been to the bank? Who do you go to see at the bank? The teller. What's the teller do? They count money, right? What does God tell Abraham to do? Here, see, I just told you the King James Bible is not hard to understand. Tell the stars means what? And it tells you in that verse, if thou be able to number them. So have you ever looked up in the stars, at the stars at night, outside the city where there's no lights? Have you ever done that before? It's a fascinating thing. You ever tried to count them? I don't think I've ever actually tried to count them. I just look at them and say, wow, it's a lot of stars. And the reason why I've never tried to count them is you can't count them. There's too many. You might count some over here, and you got a number, but there's a whole lot more behind you. And look over here, and then to the sides. You can never count the stars. Now, what does God tell Abraham after he says, I want you to look at the stars and see if you can number them? Look at verse at the end of verse 5. He says, So shall thy what? Hold on a second. Thousands, millions of stars, right? He says, your seed will be just like those stars. How many children did Abraham have at the time? He had none. How would it be possible for a man with no children to have seed that would number like the stars in the sky? How's that possible? Well, if you look at verse 6, look what Abraham did. Look at his response to this, and it's a great response. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? God gave Abraham a promise. And Abraham didn't, right here, Abraham didn't ask any questions. He just said, you know what? The Lord said it. So it must be true. And notice what the Lord gave him as a result of his faith in what God said. What did God give him, folks? What do you see there in verse 6? He gave him what? Righteousness. Now, let me pause here just for a moment and ask you a question. Are you righteous? I will be honest, if you follow me around during the week, you would give me all kinds of reasons why I am not righteous. If you follow me around, I really don't want you to get, and you don't want me to get, into your head to know what you're thinking. Because then you really know, we all know that we're not righteous, correct? However, at the same time, I can stand here this morning and tell you I am righteous. Can you say you're righteous? It has zero to do with what I do. It has all to do with what Jesus Christ did for me and my belief in what Jesus Christ did for me. And I have the righteousness of God, not because I'm anything good, because I'm not. I have the righteousness of God because I believed on Jesus Christ and the fact that He paid the price for my sins. God gave me His righteousness because all I did was believe that. Now, are you righteous? Isn't that a great thing? We could just sit here this morning for a few minutes and think about how we all know we are not righteous. Yet, you can in the same breath say, in the sight of God, I am righteous. What I mean by that is we have no righteousness of our own. I have none. The righteousness that I have is what has been imputed to me freely by God because of my belief in what Jesus Christ did for me. What a great thing that is, amen? It all has to do with me believing in somebody I have never seen before. I never seen Jesus Christ. But because I have believed, and if you've same boat with me, you believed on Jesus Christ, you have the righteousness of God. Now, that's not the message this morning, but that's kind of fun, isn't it? You're thinking about the fact that you are righteous before God. Amen! And if you know yourself, like only you know yourself, man, you know what a scoundrel you are. Yet, God looks down and He says, that guy, that lady, is righteous because of their belief in my only begotten Son and the fact that He paid the price for their sins. Amen? Isn't that something? All right. It's not the message, but that's fun. Now, let's grade Abraham so far. Let's give him a grade. How is Abraham's faith so far in Genesis 15? How's he doing, folks? Hey, I think it's pretty good. I give him an A+. I'm a teacher, so I can do that. I give him an A++. God gave him a promise, and he said, I believe it. And that's how it should work, right? Well, you're going to see here in a minute, Abraham is going to have a little struggle here. Go to Genesis chapter 17. And aren't you glad God gives you a promise, and then He gives you another promise, and another promise? I mean, if you're saved, you had to believe in the promise of God about Jesus Christ to be saved. And then after you get saved, God gives you promises pertaining to, hey, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. Hey, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, you can live a righteous life if you walk in the Spirit. I mean, aren't you glad God's got this big bag of promises that they just keep coming, amen? This month has been about the gift of God, about memory, with the memory verses. Aren't you glad that God just keeps... God doesn't wait till Christmas time to give you gifts, does He? In fact, you open your Bible, man, God's got a whole lot to give you. And just keep giving. So, way better than anything you could open up in a box, by the way, right? Amen? All right, now go to Genesis 17, and let's grade Abraham over here. Look at verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you this. At this point in Abraham's life, he's got a child. Yeah, but guess who's the mother? It's not Sarah. It's a woman named Hagar. And you can see Abraham going out of the will of God to have a child, and that child brought nothing but trouble to Abraham and Sarah, and then you could even say that child and that child's seed bringing trouble to me and you in the world today. I mean, that's a whole other message. But Abraham in chapter 16 actually listened to his wife and decided to say, I'll just do what she wants me to do here, instead of just trusting that God would really give him a son. So I just left that out. I didn't read chapter 16, but I think if you read chapter 16, it goes to show you, Abraham in chapter 15 was strong in faith. And in chapter 16, it looked like his faith waned a little bit. But then in chapter 17, what does God do? He says, hey, Abraham, I'm still keeping my promise. Aren't you glad that when we're not faithful, God is still faithful? That's Abraham's life. Look at chapter 17, and let's go down there to verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, I'm going to stop. Now, we're going to read in a minute, but let's just stop here. How did Abraham do in chapter 15 as far as believing God's promise? Pretty good, didn't he? Chapter 16, you see him listening to his wife and doing something that he shouldn't have done, but it happened. And Abraham really thinks that God's going to do something with his son Ishmael that he had with Hagar. But what does God tell him right here? He tells Abraham that his wife Sarah is going to have a child. Now, how old is Abraham, folks? 90 and 9. And you find out here in verse 17 how old Sarah is. Look at verse 17, and we'll give Abraham a grade here after we read. Verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face. And what did Abraham do? You want to remember that. He laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is how old? 90 years old, bear? Can we give Abraham a grade after that verse? By the way, little side note, in verse 17 it says that Abraham said something in his heart. Didn't say it out loud. But guess what got recorded in your Bible? The thoughts of Abraham's heart. What does Hebrews 4 say? The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, you think you're reading the Bible? Whenever you open the Bible and read? Oh no. The Bible reads you. It does. It knows what you're thinking. It knows how you think. So, how would you grade Abraham after verse 17, folks? I don't think I can give him an A. I'll let you just be the judge on that. I just don't think I can give him an A anymore. Folks, Abraham laughs at what God said was going to happen. This is the same guy that two chapters earlier believed what God said. And here, he laughs at what God said. Now, you want to have a fun time here this afternoon. Go find, you can do this on the internet, or if you've got commentaries at home. The commentators have quite a time with Abraham in chapter 17 of Genesis. And they do all kinds of things to make Abraham sound a whole lot more holy than what he really was. When I read chapter 17, I see Abraham is laughing about a promise that God made. And that laugh, I read that, and I will keep going here in a second, and you'll see why I say this. I read that saying Abraham is not so strong in faith right here. But the commentators will tell you, oh, no. Abraham's laugh was not really what you think it was and all this. Folks, I am so glad that God records an account of a man who had doubts, because guess what I have from time to time? And if you're honest, you do too. You have doubts. Now, I'm the preacher. I'm not supposed to have doubts. I'm in the pulpit this morning. I'm not supposed to have doubts. I'm telling you, I have doubts sometimes. But I don't live in the doubts. I continue on in spite of the doubts. And that's the way that Abraham did here. Look what happens next. Verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, is that who? See, he's all hung up on God's promises being fulfilled through this kid Ishmael, who is not the son of Sarah. That's Hagar's son. So he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now look what God says in verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant shall I establish with who? Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So I see Abraham right here struggling a little bit. We'll go back there to Romans chapter 4 for a second. Romans 4. And let's see this next point here. God gives promises. We should believe them. Amen? Well, let's see what had to happen with Abraham here. Look at verse 20 here. It tells you, now, with what we just said, I want you to read verses 19 and 20 with me again. We just read about a true account of Abraham, but look at verses 19 and 20 again. Romans 4, 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, time out a second, folks. Did Abraham have faith? Or did he not? What I just read over there in Genesis 17, it sounds like, not so good, right? What's Romans 4 tell you? It doesn't say, it actually tells you specifically, not weak in faith, but instead strong in faith. You see that? There's no indication from Romans that Abraham has any weakness of faith. But I read something in Genesis that leads me to think, oh, man, what's going on here? Well, read verse 20, or 21 with me. And being fully what? What's that next word? Persuaded. Being fully persuaded. I believe that sometimes we need a little persuasion when it comes to believing what God said. And I'm so glad that God gives you a little space sometimes when you're doubting, to get to the point where you go from doubt to belief after undergoing a little persuasion. So go back to Genesis with me. Go back to chapter 18 this time. So this is the second point here, persuasion. Genesis 18. Don't worry, Abraham will get out of the woods here. This will all get reconciled. Just stay with me here. And stay with me because you'll see something really, really neat about Abraham and about yourself here this morning. So stick with me here just for a few more minutes. Look at chapter 18 in Genesis. Let's talk about the persuasion. Persuasion. Chapter 18. Go down to verse 9. Genesis 18, 9. This is the chapter where these three fellows show up. And here's something fun to study. Three men show up at the beginning of chapter 18. Yet, one seems to take the lead in talking to Abraham. And Abraham talks to this individual as if the Lord Himself is talking to Abraham. Now, hold on. How many men showed up? Three. But then there's this one. But there's three men, but there's one. You know what I think you got here in chapter 18? You got an Old Testament picture of the Godhead. And there's a whole lot of neat stuff here to study. Fun stuff. Take time to do that. But let's take a look at just one instance here. Look at verse 9. Genesis 18, 9. And they, now there's the three, they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Now look at verse 10. And he said, you see what I'm telling you here? Verse 9, they, more than one. Verse 10, now who's talking? Just one guy. See the change in plural, singular? Verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Okay, before I read on, you understand what's going on here. From a biological standpoint, it is impossible for Sarah to have a child. Women reach a certain age where they can't have children anymore. From a biological perspective, it's impossible for her to have a child. Therefore, she can't have a child. Or can she? Well, Christmas time, biologically, it's impossible for a virgin to have a child. Guess what happened? A virgin gave birth to a child. So watch what happens here. Now, I like reading this account of Abraham and Sarah because I can relate. See if you can relate. Look at verse, where we leave off. Verse 12. Therefore, Sarah did what? Laughed within herself. So this is not something she said out loud either, but it's within, but it's recorded. And look what she says, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? I read verse 12, and I see doubt. You see the doubt there? You want to remember this, because I'll show you something interesting about Sarah here from the New Testament in a minute. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Watch verse 14. You might want to underline this next verse, this next little statement. Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can you answer that question? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Folks, if God said He was going to do something, He will do something. Now, some of you were in Sunday school this morning. And if you weren't in Sunday school, you missed out on this part. So you have to go back and read. But we were in 1 Corinthians 15. And pastor's talking about the rapture, because it's in there. Then he went over to 1 Thessalonians 4, and there's more about the rapture. Now, you know what happens at the rapture? If you're saved, what are you going to do one day? You're going to fly. You ever flown before? Not in an airplane? I've never flown before without an airplane. What does 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians say we're going to do one day? We're going to fly. Who said that? God said that. I asked pastor after the message. I said, how's this all going to happen? And there's only one answer to that. If God said it's going to happen, He'll do exactly what He said. So, on the way to church, I was kind of giving Sherry a preview of the message about what I was going to talk about. And guess what she brought up? She brought up how it's an unbelievable thing to the world, to somebody who doesn't believe the Bible, it's an unbelievable thing to consider the rapture will happen. The rapture will happen exactly as it's laid out in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. So do you know what that means? You've been to cemetery lately? If you've been to cemetery, and maybe you went to the cemetery and you went to the grave of somebody that you knew, and they're saved, according to the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, that individual, along with everybody who was saved, who's now dead, what's going to happen to them, folks? They're coming up. The grave robber is showing up, and he's going to take them away. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really going to happen. Now, you think about how far-fetched it is in your little earthly mind, in my little earthly mind, to think that's going to happen. Go back down there and read verse 14 again. Is anything too hard for the Lord? From a scientific perspective, I cannot explain to you how the rapture will happen. I know it will happen because God said it's going to happen. By the way, can science take dirt and make a man and breathe into that man and give life? Oh no, but God can. We read about that this morning too. So you understand, God says things that sound extraordinary and at times unbelievable. But just because we've never seen it happen before, don't think that it's not going to happen. If God said an old man and an old woman were going to have a child, it didn't matter what they thought. If God said it was going to happen, it happened. If God said the rapture is going to take place and it seems far-fetched to me, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It will happen. Amen? I show you this because I know it's encouraging to me as I was studying. Abraham and Sarah were a whole lot like me and you. They couldn't explain everything. They couldn't put all the pieces together. But ultimately, they said, you know what? The Lord said this, and He's proved Himself over and over to us. I'm just going to believe what He said. Even though they went through a little time where it was shaky. Y'all ever go through those times? I'll give you the solution to those shaky times here in a minute, so stay with me. But I'll just leave you with this right now. It's natural to go through times where you have some doubts, and that's okay. I'll give you a solution here as we finish up here in a moment. Okay, so I see a little doubt there. Now go on down there to verse 16. Actually, I didn't read the rest of verse 15. Let me read 15. Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. This is a whole other sermon, but you know what people do whenever they're afraid? They lie. That's exactly what she did right there. She told the Lord a lie. And the Lord knew exactly what she really did. Now watch what happens here. And I think there's some encouragement here about Abraham. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Now watch, verse 19 is really good. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. When I read verse 19, I see the Lord giving a great commendation to Abraham. You see that? And it sure does sound like, after I read verse 19, what a faithful man Abraham was. But I saw earlier where Abraham was, and his wife, really bad, right? Now, go back to Romans. I'll tell you what, on the way back to Romans, stop off in Mark. And for those of you who have doubts, I think this might help you. Stop off in Mark chapter 9 for just a second. And I'll help you with this thing about doubt. And then we'll go back to Romans and we'll wrap things up here. Mark chapter 9. Yeah, Mark chapter 9. You got this account of this man. I'll save a little time here and just tell you what happens. This man brings his son to Jesus Christ. And he has a dumb spirit. And according to verse 18, the disciples could not cast this spirit out of his son. So if you take a look at verse 20... 9:20, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. So that's the spirit in the presence of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, and he, that's the Lord, he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now look at the Lord's response in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst what? Believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, before I go on here, in verse 22, that man who has this son is telling Jesus what's been happening. And it sounds to me like this man goes to Jesus for help because he knows Jesus can help. He says there, have compassion on us and help us. So there seems to be a little measure of faith there. But look what happens next here. Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Watch what he says here. Lord, I what? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine what? That verse is a great encouragement to me. That man believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could help and heal. But at the same time, what's he still dealing with? Unbelief. So you can believe, and you can go through these times where you have doubts, folks. I'm telling you, that's just the reality of the Christian life. Now, if you go on here, you find out that this man's belief is greatly increased, his faith is increased, because obviously Jesus Christ cast the spirit out of him. But go back over to Romans here, and let's see something here about Abraham. And I already showed you how Abraham believed. And then Abraham and Sarah had a little bit of a struggle with believing. But look what your Bible says about both of them. Look at Romans 4. This will be about Abraham. Look at verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through what? I'm struggling here, folks. We read about Abraham over there in Genesis. And it sounds to me like there was a little bit of a struggle going on with Abraham. Yet God says what about him? Says he was faithful and that he believed. Now, can you think of a single event, just one event, that took place between Abraham and Sarah and the writing by Paul of the book of Romans about Abraham? Can you think of a major, major event that transpired? Can you think of anything? Maybe 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose again. Do you remember that? Folks, that event changed everything. Now, I'll show you where I'm going with this. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. That event changed everything. And I'll give you this last point here as we do this. God is able to perform. So here's the performance. God's going to give promises. Sometimes we need a little persuasion in order to believe the promises. But regardless of whether we believe it or not, you know what God always does if He says He's going to do something? He always brings it to pass. He always performs that which He says He's going to do. So look at this. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, who is it? Abraham. And I'm not going to read all of this. I just want to get down to where it mentions Abraham and then Sarah. So verse 8, 9, 10 looks like Abraham, man, he's a faithful man. By the way, the whole chapter is full of faithful people. And there's women in this chapter. Look at verse 11. Through faith also who? Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. All right, now how is it that God can say that Abraham and Sarah had faith when it sure did look like there was a time when they didn't, folks? Because you can go from having faith to having some doubts and go right back to what? Having faith again. And what does God record about them? I think this is a beautiful thing. What does God record about them? He records in the New Testament only that they were what? Faithful. You know that you'll have a hard time. In fact, you will not be able to find God recording in the New Testament the sins of the Old Testament saints. You won't find it. By the way, in this chapter, you find Moses in this chapter. Moses has some problems, folks. God chose not to record Moses' sins in the New Testament. How about David? He's in this chapter. Did David have some issues? Oh, yeah. The sins of the saints in the Old Testament are not recorded in the New Testament. Amen. You know why? What happened between their lives and where we are today? What happened? Jesus Christ showed up. Amen. That's why I told you at the beginning, you have the righteousness of God, yet you don't appear to be righteous, and neither do I. You know who makes all the difference? The Lord Jesus Christ makes all the difference. And God will say things about you that to other people may not seem to be true. But in the sight of God, if God says that's how it is, then that's how it is. Amen? So take a look here. Go down to verse 13. And I'm in Hebrews here still. Look at this. These all died. How'd they die? And what a great way to die, huh? Die believing that the Lord, even though here you may not see, you may be on your deathbed one day, ready to pass away, and you're thinking, man, I thought I was going to live to see the rapture. And maybe you don't. You know the rapture will still happen whether you're alive down here, whenever it happens, it's still going to happen. Look at these people. It says they died in faith. Now watch what it says. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. You see that? Now notice that. Sounds like a contradiction. Not having received the promises, but having seen them. Where did they see them? They hadn't seen them come to fruition yet, but they believed that God was going to bring them to pass. And then it says, and were, what's that next word? And were persuaded of them. See, sometimes we need just a little persuasion. And then notice the next thing. Persuaded of them, and then what do they do with them? Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Folks, God's always going to perform that which He says He's going to do, regardless if we believe it or not. But I'll tell you, you'd be better off believing it. Be way better off just believing what God said. Now go back to Genesis 21 and let's see what God did here. Does God always bring His word to pass? We'll end up over here this morning. Genesis 21. It's about time to quit here, so I'll wrap up here. Genesis 21. God always performs that which He says He's going to do. You can always believe God's promises. Genesis 21. Look down here at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had. Does God always do what He says He's going to do? Every time. You can trust Him. Verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now watch this. The Lord doesn't forget certain things. Look at verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And as God would have it, do you know what Isaac's name means? Laughter. Isn't that something? And who was it that laughed whenever they were told that Abraham and Sarah would have a son? Well, you could say Abraham did it, and Sarah did it as well. See, in spite of what we do, God brings His word to pass. And sometimes in doing that, He reminds us, oh yeah, you went through a little spell there where you didn't quite believe everything, did you? Didn't you? Hey, I show us the example of Abraham this morning to be an encouragement, because what a man of faith, amen? Oh, ladies, Sarah, according to your New Testament, what a woman of faith, amen? But you know what? They went through some stages here, at least one little stage where they thought, how is this going to happen? And God still came through. See, God doesn't change His promises because we don't believe it. God keeps His promise whether we believe it or not. Now, I told you a couple minutes ago, I said, I want to help you with this thing about maybe struggle. You ever go through these times where you say, man, I need more faith? You ever go through those times? Okay, so you can turn over there. I'll give you the verse. I told you we're going to stay in Genesis, so I'm not going to turn there. But I'll give you the verse. Romans 10, 17. If you struggle with your faith in what God said, there's the verse for you. You ready? Romans 10, 17 says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I can take you to a time in my life where my faith was really, 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 really small. I was saved. But my faith was really, really small in what God said. And do you know the difference between that time in my life and today? And I'm not even close to being what I should be. I'm not saying that. But some time has passed between the time I had very little faith and today where I have at least a little bit more than I had back then. You know what the difference maker is? Time spent hearing from God in His Word. That's a difference maker. I'm telling you. I would not have the confidence to stand before you this morning and tell you to believe the Bible if I personally had not been through over and over again to where I can stand here and say, you should believe the Bible. What I'm telling you is this. Your faith in what God says is in direct proportion to your time spent reading what God said. Did you catch that? Your faith in what God says is in direct proportion to the time you spend hearing from God, reading what He says. Okay, so we're about to end the year here, aren't we? And y'all make New Year's resolutions, or did you give up on doing those anymore? I still do them, and I always get disappointed, but I still do them. You know, I think they're good, even if you only keep them for a week. That's a week better than not keeping it, not making one, right? So I'm in the camp of make them, but you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. But how about you make a commitment to the Lord about hearing from Him more? You can just do this. Hear from Him more in the next year, 2022, than you did this year in 2021. Which might mean just carving out some time every day to where you say, I will read the Scriptures from this time to this time. No distraction by anything else. I'm going to read the Scriptures and just hear from God. I'm telling you, not because I said it, because your Bible says it in Romans 10. If you will read the Bible more, you will have more faith in what God said. It works. It's a formula from God Himself, Romans 10, 17. So you want your faith to be increased? Make some more time to spend in God's Word. Okay, now, I was going to go back to Romans 4 this morning. Read the rest of Romans 4. I only covered the part about Abraham. You know what God threw in there at the end of Romans 4? He compared the faith of Abraham to the faith that a person who exercises faith in Jesus Christ to be saved has. And it's really, really neat. And you know all it takes to be saved? What does it take to be saved? It takes faith in what God said about your sin and about what Jesus Christ did for your sin. That's it. What does it take? Now, here's a trick question, but not really. A thinking question. What does it take after you're saved to live the Christian life? Read Galatians. Faith. It takes faith after you're saved, and you just got to keep going back to, I will believe what God said. Hey, let's be a church that believes more in 2022 than we did this year. That'd be a church that spends more time hearing from the Lord than we did this past year. And don't ever stop. Just keep going on. Just keep going on. No matter how old you are, young or old, make time to hear from God, and I'm telling you, your faith will increase. If you've been saved for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, you still need your faith to be increased, don't you? You ever reach I've reached this pinnacle of faith. You don't. Keep pouring in. Keep pouring in. And I'm telling you, it's rewarding. Hebrews 11:6 says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hey, I exhort you. Exhort myself. Spend time diligently seeking the Lord in His Word in this upcoming year. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for Your words. Thank You for just the example that You gave to us this morning of people that are a whole lot like us, where they go these times of belief and then unbelief and then back to believing. And Lord, we thank You so much for just how Your Word is always encouraging to us. I pray that we would be a church that in this next year, we get something done for You on an individual level and on a church-wide level and on a level with just impacting this world that we live in. And just pray for this invitation time. We want to give this to You, and I pray that we all respond the way You desire us to this morning. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.